Welcome to the Global Black Caucus Power to the People podcast. My name is Angela Fobbs. I'm the chair of the Global Black Caucus. And with me is the one and only Adrian George.
Hey, hey son. Sweet.
Yes. See, I can say hey, son, too. I do not speak any Swedish, just as an FYI. That was it. Like, maybe lingonberries or something.
You did
or
it very good.
IKEA. No, that is my Swedish.
IKEA, and I'm just teasing.
No, oh, my God. Okay, well, that's how we say it in Germany, IKEA.
No, you're right. I'm just teasing.
And today we have a wonderful another guest from down under, Brittany Pewitt. She is also a Georgia voter. What a surprise. Welcome, Brittany.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, we are just
another Georgia peach in the house.
Another Georgia peach. That's right. We've got a whole lot of Georgia peach. What do you call the men if they're the women are peaches and the men are I don't know. Pecans?
I was gonna say pecans, but no, we don't call them anything. As far as I know, I have to ask about.
Or
peach lovers. How about that?
Vidalia onions or I don't know.
Oh, I love Vidalia onions.
Me too.
I just love calling women food items.
Yeah, I know. That is 100% sexism, so we'll try to refrain from that a little bit.
But I did see a cute hashtag that said reach a peach because we're looking for Georgia voters. So I think the whole state, you guys are just all peachy or peaches or whatever. Yeah. But we're trying to reach a peach or two.
Yes. Yes, we definitely are. And we know that they're out there, the ones overseas. But I think Georgia might be one of those states where people just don't leave so much, you know, they don't go overseas. Cause we have thousands of members that are from Georgia, but in comparison, like the bigger states like New York, California, Florida, Texas, we have just thousands and thousands of people. they're all over the place. I'm really always surprised at how many people there are from California and New York it's kind of crazy, but Georgia is a little bit more elusive, so we're here to find you. Georgia is always on our minds, at least.
Well, like you said, if we know we've got a couple thousand, at least, or thousands, there must be thousands more that are not members. So we're speaking to you. Dana is a Democrats Abroad Australia member who's active in the Black Caucus, and she introduced us to Brittany. And Brittany, how long have you been in Australia?
Yeah, so I've been in Australia a little over a year now, about a year and 4 months now.
Wow.
Yeah. And what are you doing there?
Yeah, so I came for an exchange that was just supposed to be 1 year. I'm doing my master's at Carnegie Mellon University back in the US in Pittsburgh, but they have a campus here in Australia in Adelaide. And so students in my master's program who want to have a more international focus, specifically on Asia and the Pacific, they have this opportunity to do an exchange. And so I came last August out to Adelaide, really didn't know too much about it in regards to other Australian cities. But yeah, it's been pretty good. And I've extended my stay because of COVID. I was supposed to return to the US in May after finishing my courses, but you just had a better handle on the situation here. So I decided to stay a little longer.
Where's Adelaide? Because I don't know. Angela, how good is your Australian geography?
It's not that great. But since I've met so many Australians lately, it is on the coast, like every city in Australia. And I think it's on the south coast, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're right. It's in South Australia. That's the name of the state here. And yeah, it's the coast, like southeast coast. And it's actually known for its wine region. So it's one of the world famous wine regions in the different valleys around. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting place. There's some cool stuff going on, but it has a more small town vibe.
Oh, I should have known that Australia makes wine, but it just, I don't think I've ever seen any.
Are you kidding? It's super popular here in Sweden, Australia wine. They have really, really good wine. Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking I should have known that. I should have known where you were as soon as you took the wine. I was thinking I should have known. But if it's 10:18 in the morning for me and Angela. Angela's in Germany. I'm here in Sweden. What time is it for you now, Brittany?
It's 7:48 p.m.
Wow. Wow.
And we've got freezing weather, and you've got...
Yeah, happy summer.
Summer, yeah, happy summer.
You know, have you already voted in the Georgia runoffs? And let me back it up. So you were there during the elections, obviously. When you left to come to study, did you already think about how were you going to vote, or how did you know that you could vote from abroad?
Oh, so my background is a little different. So I wasn't living at home before I came back to school. I was living in the D.C. metro area. So
I'm from D.C.
Yeah, I remember hearing that on the previous episode. So yeah, I lived in all over. Like, I went to high school in Alexandria because my dad had been stationed up there. And then I just kept coming back, even though I went to Spelman College for undergrad. So I was voting in Georgia then, but when I would come back, after I graduated, I lived in Virginia, all over Maryland. So I kind of voted in a lot of different places over the last 5 years. But when I returned back home before I went to school, I got registered to vote in Georgia. And now I'm a Georgia voter again.
Look how important that was. You guys are like deciding everything.
Yes.
Yeah. It was definitely a good time. I mean, I wish I had been a Georgia voter when Stacey was running and, you know, all those other times. But yeah, it's definitely good.
Well, if she decides to run in 2022, which I hope that she will run for governor, since what's that guy's name? That's the governor. I don't bother to memorize
Cheater.
People. Cheater, yeah. McCheaty. yeah, I didn't bother to memorize Cheater McCheaty's name. And he's not really, you know, do you remember when he said he didn't know how viruses were transmitted? Like,
yeah.
What? How old are you? Like, this, oh my God, really? As just so shocking how ignorant people can be. And this is what people voted for, ignorance.
Well, so, you know what? We want you guys to be smart voters. And let me just, before I forget, if you're overseas, like Brittany and Angela and I are, you can go to votefromabroad.org to register to vote. Because if you were 17 and couldn't vote for the president, but you're going to be 18 by January 5th, this is your moment. So register by December 7th, though. What is that? It's just 6 days away. So do it today.
Yeah, that's 6 days away. And last night we had an event for the, what was it called? The Vote for BIPOC Georgians. It went really well. It went so well, we're going to do it again on Sunday.
Tell people what BIPOC is, Angela.
It is Black, Indigenous, People of Color. Is what that stands for. And people like that. It's modern. So try to remember it, everybody, and use it, because you'll see it's popping up everywhere.
So who was on the call and why was it so good? Why you're doing it again?
We had Ben Coles. He's actually a member in Germany, but he's a Georgia voter. On, and he was talking about the Georgia vote. We had a guy named Jerry, and I cannot remember. He's actually a Georgia. He's Hispanic. I can't remember what his last name was. I want to say it's Gonzalez. He was talking about what's happening on the ground in Georgia, and you know, all the actions that they're taking to make sure that the Hispanic population continues to vote and registering more people. And then we had another woman, her name was Rosa. She's a volunteer that is working on getting out the vote in Georgia also, plus members of the Hispanic and Black Caucus joined us. So it was a good event, but we're gonna do it again on Sunday because we're trying to round up those last, you know, like we gotta get, there's, if you're not registered to vote, the 7th, is the last day to
actually. Is that Sunday?
That's Monday.
Monday.
It's Monday. So it's the last day to vote. But if you are registered to vote already, you have until the day of the election to request a ballot or download it or whatever. The only thing about Georgia is that it's a mail-only state, so you can't email it. So you can't wait till the last minute unless you're in the state of Georgia.
Brittany, right? How did you get your ballot back from Australia?
I mailed it. Oh, I'm sorry. You mean how did I send it back to Georgia, right?
Yes. Did you use regular mail or?
On the presidential election, I actually mailed it registered post in Australia, which I do not recommend for other Australians. That was a real hassle. That doesn't have tracking. So it was basically supposed to be based on signature that you would get notified, but because of COVID, they weren't doing signature upon mm-hmm. delivery. So, and I also didn't see an update on the Georgia site for a long time. So I was pretty uncertain about what happened with the ballot. Thankfully it worked out and I was able to have my vote counted. But for this runoff election, I did International Express, also through Australia Post, but that provides for tracking. It was about maybe $10 more, but I think it was worth it just for that peace of mind. So hopefully it'll get there in 2 weeks. I mailed it out yesterday. Yep.
Were you able to download your ballot? I'm sorry, Angela. I'm curious if you got your ballot for the runoffs in your email, or were you able to download it on the Georgia website?
Yeah, I got it on my email. I got an update through my email, and then I checked online, and it was in there.
Right. And so if for Georgia voters, if you voted in the general election at the beginning of November and you haven't received an email that notifies you, just go to the website and we'll have that link in the show notes, and you can check and see if your ballot is there for you to download. You might not have received the email for one reason or another, you know, but you can still go up there and look for your ballot and download it and then print it out and send it back. Hurry. Don't want to get caught up in the Christmas rush, you know,
I was just going to ask Brittany to repeat that advice you got about the mail. Don't do, what was it you said don't do?
I would not recommend registered post. Would say do International Express or another courier service, but I think from Australia, you'll be fine with Australia Post, International Express with tracking. You can add insurance if you want, like it has the whole shebang, just like,
FedEx or something.
Oh, I'm thinking of USPS, Priority Mail kind of.
There you go, Priority Mail. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's a good tip. That's a good tip for all you Aussies out there. Do not do that, and make sure that you get your ballot back in right away, because January 5th is the election, but January 8th is the deadline to cure your ballot. And that means if they have a problem with your signature, you can get it sorted out by January 8th. But that means they need to have your ballot in time or early so they can let you know. So that you can get, because again, won't you have to cure by mail, Angela? I think everything with Georgia is by postal mail as far as.
I don't know that you have to cure by mail. I think okay. You can do it over email or something.
Yeah, I think by fax or email, but I did get a notification in the presidential election about curing my ballot if needed. And it said you could respond by fax or email. So that one doesn't have as much stress.
Fantastic information.
Yeah, that's hopefully good to know.
Hopefully it's the same this time around, but I'm pretty sure it's you don't have to mail.
Yeah. And so fax reminder, you can fax online.
You can fax online with email to fax. There's several services, Fax Plus, and I don't know. I'll put it in the show notes. There's a couple good ones that you can use.
I can't even remember the one I used. I think it might even been called Free Fax or something, because DC lets you email fax, or I faxed, I emailed, I posted. I was like, you're getting my ballot.
Okay. You went a little bit overboard. And a lot of people did, but honestly, it's not necessary. I vote in Florida and I sent mine by fax, and then they sent me a message and said, we received your ballot, and I was done. So yeah. That was
my
really...
team wasn't as responsive at DC Board of Elections, but I'm giving you a shout out because you got it done. And I was able to track online to see what's going on. And that was good. But you know what? For all kinds of questions like this, don't we have live voter help still?
That's right. This is Tuesday that we're recording on, and we have live help for for the general election, but also especially for this Georgia election on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturday, and Sunday. And they are at times that are convenient to many time zones. And if for some reason you can't join the live help, you can always go on votefromabroad.org, and there's a little red chat bubble at the bottom of every screen. And if you just click that bubble and give them your information or what your problem is, then they can help you get that resolved if you can't make it to the live help. Also, if you're having trouble like getting registered or some other issue with voting at your local election office, you can contact our voter protection@democratsabroad.org. And they are super. And they're at this point, they are experts at resolving your issues. They're very good. I found out last night something I didn't know about Georgia, that Georgia has like 136 counties or something like that, which is the second most, except for Texas.
Yikes.
And that, yeah, I had no idea that Georgia, I mean, Georgia's not that big, you know, it was some rule that has to do with slavery, of course, like, and that they wanted that slave owners, that they only had to drive like less than a day to their county seat. So they made all these counties in Georgia. So there's 136 counties in Georgia,
see that looking at the map growing up, it's packed with.
Yeah. Counties. It's kind of crazy. I don't even know. It seemed excessive to me because there are states that are bigger than Georgia and they don't have this many counties. Yeah, it was a really good event last night. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, I think I saw a sample of a Georgia ballot, and it's three things to vote on, right? The two senators and something else.
Lewis's seat.
A congressional seat. Congressional district. So the other have a ballot with me.
Because we want blue.
Yeah, just mark the D. You don't have to.
So you don't leave off. So don't just do the Senate. By God, do the Senate. But there's something else that you should do too. So depending on your district, John Lewis's seat. But Brittany, on your ballot, what was it?
Did you get that public service commissioner?
So there's other stuff on every ballot. Yeah, it just depends on the county, and you live in 136 different counties. Oh my God, I guess I should stop, but that's just really stunning. I wanted to play one little clip from Rachel Maddow and just get you guys' opinion on it. Cause you know, sometimes it just seems like in this election that there's been so many crazy things that have happened during this election. And maybe I'm the only one that's feeling this way. Can you? Okay, my screen is slowly sharing.
It's coming up. Is Rachel in her usual form fired up and like exasperated?
You know, she's Rachel Maddow and we love her.
Irony. And she doesn't, what is it? Take any prisoners, suffer any fools.
Yeah.
All of those things. So well, I'm sure this is a juicy nugget.
Yeah. It's not a video clip. It's audio clip. So just, hang on.
Well, I don't get to see her face, but that's okay.
Just imagine it. It always looks the same. So here we go.
Is rigged and it fixed, and your votes therefore in Georgia don't count. Votes that are cast for Republicans in Georgia all get converted into Democratic votes by a system that is totally, totally corrupt. That's the point of that Trumpy lawsuit in Georgia right now. The president has egged this one on. Even as he has supposedly disavowed this one lawyer, he has told Fox News viewers just this weekend that the Georgia runoff elections next month, those two Senate elections that'll determine whether Democrats or Republicans control the U.S. Senate. The president has just told Fox News viewers that those Senate runoffs will be run on the same, quote, garbage machinery that he says was used to fix the presidential election November 3rd, to rig that election. That's the only reason that he lost. So that'll be a garbage election run on garbage machines that aren't worth voting on because they'll change your Republican votes to Democratic votes. You know, that one's going to have consequences because Georgia Republicans actually need Georgia Republican voters, including Trump-supporting Republican voters, to be motivated to turn up and vote in those Senate runoffs on January 5th. President Trump repeatedly telling them to not bother, that their votes don't count, the fix is in, it's a corrupt system. I mean, that may somehow serve his long-term prospects in terms of how he wants to come back to rule America in the post-election, non-democratic future he imagines for us all. Maybe helpful to him. But it is putting the rest of the Republican Party in a bit of a pickle because they really do need Republican voters to go vote in those Senate elections. And why would you? If Donald Trump, who you revere and believe, is telling you there's no worth in voting in Georgia because it's all rigged, those results can't be trusted. Those machines, they steal your vote. This weekend, Republican Party Chair Ronna Romney McDaniel went to an event in Marietta, Georgia, where she was shouted at repeatedly by Republican voters in the room, demanding that she explain to them why they should vote at all in those Senate runoffs when it's all fixed, it's all rigged, when all the votes would be switched from Republican to Democrat, just like Trump says and just like Trump did, just like the election was rigged against Trump in the presidential election earlier this month. CNN's Ryan Nobles filed this report for Marietta.
Listen to this exchange that we just saw a few minutes ago here in Marietta with these supporters of President Trump and the supporters of David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler peppering the GOP chairwoman Ronna McDaniel about these allegations of fraud here in Georgia and around the country.
Machines are switching the votes, and we go there in crazy numbers, and they should have won, but then they still...
Yeah, we have to... We didn't see that in the audit, so we've got to just... That evidence I haven't seen, so right. We'll wait and see on that.
How are we going to get money and work when it's already decided?
It's not decided. This is the key.
No.
It's not decided.
Okay, so I just heard that and I thought it was like the funniest thing ever. Like, why are we going to vote if it's already decided? And that's true for Republicans. It is already decided that where the Democrats are going to win. But if you're a Democrat or an independent, just go mark those D's and don't worry about it. It's all fine. Like, Adrian, the look on your face, like, you're just
no,
like.
I'm thinking if we remember in 2016, Trump, you know, he won and he said he won an election that was rigged. Remember? He said that election wasn't
Every election
legit.
Is rigged. That's right.
So this is like a repeating theme. He claims elections are rigged when he wins. He claims they're rigged when he loses. His voters don't know what the heck to think about. And I read something, I don't know if it's true, but somebody that had given him, I don't know, $1.5 million or $2.5 million to help these lawsuits to fight the results, they want their money back because, you know, he hasn't won a single lawsuit. I can understand why people are angry and confused if you believed in this person and that you hung on every word that he said through this entire presidency where he's been fact-checked after fact-checked and you still are like, no, it's a lie. You know, what he said is true. So if he's spinning don't vote because your vote doesn't count and any American of reasonable sensibilities actually buys into that, what can I say? You know, we're on that other camp that every vote matters. Please don't be disenfranchised. Please don't think that, you know, your one vote will make a difference. We know overseas votes make a difference. You know, we've seen in these small elections. I mean, Brittany, is there any reason why you wouldn't vote? You're a millennial? No, you're younger than a millennial.
No, I'm a millennial. I'm 28. And yeah, I think this election and of late, you know, talking to my peers and you know, some folks who are a little older than me, even who are millennials, I think, you know, what we're constantly seeing is we maybe don't feel represented or feel like the Democratic Party or any of these parties are really conscious of us and thinking about our issues and the things that matter to us and, you know, thinking about things in a more progressive way. And so I think as a millennial voter, you're kind of struggling with not identifying and not feeling like any of the politicians that are running ever truly represent your values. And so it's like that on top of voting not being very accessible, not being something that, you know, even makes sense in our society. Like, it's not given the merit that other countries have given it and made, you know, compulsory like it is here in Australia, or, you know, at least people get the day off in all sectors, and it's not something that's really, in some ways, it only targets certain populations. And so I think when you're compiling that with everything else that's going on in society and thinking that millennials don't look one way, we're not all, you know, college educated, you know, well-to-do people, like, it's across the board. And so I think
who thinks millennials are all well-to-do?
I think there's like this sense of like kind of like suburban elitist college educated millennials working for X, Y, and Z company. And I feel like that's, you know, not really capturing the Democratic Party isn't really speaking to everyone. And that's been, I think, an issue for a lot of my peers.
What are some of the issues that are important to you?
Yeah, so for me, the big issues are environmental policy. So before I, you know, came to Australia, I was working for EPA. And I've always worked in some environmental sector or regulatory space. And so, you know, just kind of seeing where the U.S. is headed with climate change, with pollution, air pollution, water pollution, things of that nature. Like, those are the things that I want to see more progress on and more direct action on, as well as sexual health and reproductive rights. Also are very important to me, and, you know, access to healthcare across the spectrum. Those are, you know, kind of the issues that I would like to see, you know, more on.
These last 4 years must have been horrible for you then, as an observer, at least, far as everything you touched on that administration was against.
Well, yeah, I think on top of, you know, being an observer, I was, you know, working in the federal government for those years, and I was working at headquarters in DC. And I think, you know, this administration was constantly rolling things back and, you know, constantly devaluing environmental health and environmental regulations that were meant to protect. And even if they did fall short, they were at least moving in the right direction. And so seeing that was a little bit demoralizing. And, you know, part of the reason why I decided to step away and come back to school was to pivot. You know, my interest has always been in international environmental issues anyway. So I, you know, took this opportunity to pivot to that work and have been getting opportunities to do that. But I still feel very passionately about the issues, domestic issues. So that's also part of my, you know, the things that matter to me.
Wow, you used to work at the EPA. That's before Trump.
I started under the Obama administration when I was actually in high school.
Oh, cool.
Working as an intern throughout Spelman, and then came back full time.
Wow, that's really incredible. The EPA is an incredibly important agency that Trump has, I don't want to say destroyed, but they worked really hard to destroy it, you know, to make it like really not functional. And so many of the things that they're trying to do, like at the last moment with the environmental policy, I saw that they weren't able to start drilling in the Arctic, which is like, oh, well, sorry, you know, you won't get a chance to destroy that, you know. I've seen, our what do you call it, the Department of the Interior and our EPA are going to need a full, like, somebody's going to need to go through those agencies with a fine tooth comb and figure out what all they've done. Yeah. It's very sad. Wow.
Brittany, I don't know if you looked at Warnock's campaign, but I know one of the things that he's running on is the environment. Because where he is in Savannah, coastal, he's seen the impact of flooding. And do you know anything about that as an environmental person?
Yeah, I haven't followed his campaign pledges as closely in regards to environmental issues, but I think just in general, like, knowing a little bit more about coastal communities and seeing natural disasters affecting you know, a part of my family's lived in Florida for the last few years, as well as, you know, just moving up and down the coastline and seeing things like that happen. So I think, you know, that's really important for me to hear that he, you know, has that he's more closely connected to it, because I think that also makes a difference with politicians, someone who's actually grown up in those communities and seen the effect firsthand. So yeah, I don't know as closely, but yeah, I did know he was from Savannah. And
I skimmed it, and we had a, I have a friend who lives in Savannah, and she's like, he's all over it, and he's seen it, and I trust that, because as you say, people from the community know what is going on in the community and what the community needs, and Angela was keeping track of what Greek letter are we, did we leave off on with the...
Oh, my God, yes, yesterday was the last day, hopefully, of hurricane season, of the Atlantic hurricane season, although there's at least one storm still out in the Atlantic that's making its way in. We had 30 named storms this year, which is a record. And we had there's one storm that's out there, and it's the last time in December. The last time we had a hurricane in December was 2006, and so. Hopefully we won't make any records this year with having a hurricane hit in December. So I'm so glad hurricane season is over. I used to live in Florida. And weirdly enough, the whole time I lived in Florida, I was only in a hurricane. I was never in a hurricane. I came back to visit my mom in 2004. And there was a hurricane. It was like one of the first ones that went across the panhandle. And she lives in central Florida, north of Orlando, or she did anyway. And that was the first time I was actually in a hurricane. And now it's just like they're continuous, almost. Yeah, it's very scary. I'm glad my mom no longer lives in Florida, so I don't have to constantly be freaking out every time there's a storm, because I'm not there to... you know, protect my mother. She would probably say she doesn't need me to protect her, but she's wrong.
And you know, another thing, Brittany, you talked about like healthcare and accessible for everyone across the board. Is that the case in Australia?
Well, you know, as a student, I don't have access to the Australian healthcare system, but from what I've seen and what I've learned, you know, you do have the basic healthcare coverage all Australians have access to, and then if you want to add anything extra, you know, you'll compensate that with private healthcare insurance, but you don't have to, you know, have those bare minimum things that everyone should have access to as a part of something that you pay for. You're in a Medicare program that takes care of that automatically.
And what's the situation with COVID there now? What's our death toll now, Angela? I've been watching CNN, and I try to give myself a break.
It's over a quarter of a million, and I think they said that over the holiday, something like 200,000 people got COVID.
No,
something like that. Yes, it was a lot. These people just won't listen. Like, you know. Some people don't believe it. I don't know. Have you guys seen that video with this nurse from South Dakota? And she says that she's works in the ICU with COVID patients, and that people are there and they're about to die and they don't believe they have COVID.
They're dying angry because they think it's a conspiracy still.
They think they have cancer. They won't call their families to speak with them, like at the last, you know, opportunity to talk with them. And the reason that she spoke out is just because it's not that it happened once, but that it keeps happening. Like, and that she doesn't know what to do because it's so sad. And it is. If you're like, you know, a person is about to die and they're about to die of COVID, and they're like, no, I don't have COVID. No, I don't need to talk to my family because I'm going to live. Like, what?
How do you help someone like that? It's really depressing. And back to your question, Adrian, here, you know, it's a little mixed bag, because where I am, it's, like I said, a smaller city, but we did have a COVID cluster happen about 2 weeks ago that kind of shocked everyone, but they handled it really efficiently. We went into a lockdown that was supposed to be 6 days. It only lasted 3 days because someone had misinformed the contact tracers, and that actually made international news. If you look up Adelaide.
I saw that.
Yeah, the pizza bar guy. So that's a whole nother thing about why people would lie to contact tracers and just make this whole thing a wild goose chase. But, you know, neither here nor there, that you know, restricted the amount of people that were close contacts and made it a little bit easier to go forward with loosening restrictions. So we still have, you know, suggested mask wearing, which was always the case. And, you know, not a lot of people did it, but I see in the last couple of weeks, more people are wearing masks and just starting to adjust to that. But I don't think there's as high of a risk at all. There's only been, I think, 22 cases in the last few months.
You know, I saw that on the
news.
That's
not very many at all.
No, because I saw that he wasn't going to get prosecuted or whatever for that. I didn't realize it was where you are. And you're right. It's like, why would he say that? And it's interesting. I didn't realize that mask was a suggestion and not a regulation or regulation, I guess. Or
yeah.
No, yeah, only if you feel like you can't social distance. But I mean, it's not like a big city. Like, you could walk around and not be that close to people. Like, it's not like a, you know, I
New York City.
Kind of that idea that if people wore masks here, it may not really make that much of a difference. And also, they were able to kind of trace it back. But not to, like, I'm definitely, you know, interested in how the public health system manages it here, and I definitely want to learn kind of from that approach. But I think from what I've seen, I don't think the risk warrants that level of mandate yet, but I do think there is a level of complacency that could be an issue further down the line if there is another spread.
So is there one policy across Australia, or is it state by state?
No, it's state by state, because in like you said, across Australia, it's state by state. And so in Melbourne, there were a lot more cases in Sydney as well. So they had, you know, a longer lockdown, and that, you know, definitely affected a lot of people in a different way over the last few months compared to Adelaide, where we did not have any major restrictions for the last 9 months.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, in Germany, it's, I don't know where we are. We're still on a partial lockdown, and yeah, because people, they're so, you know, the internet makes it possible that we can share information. And so there's a whole bunch of crazy QAnon, no mask people here. It's not like a huge population, but it's enough where they can hold a protest or something, you know? And so there's a lot of people here that are doing unsafe things, and I don't know. I think they came out with a bunch of rules to go through the holiday season, and so much, you know, this is where I'm upset. Like, wear your damn mask. Excuse me for cursing people, but wear your masks. We're not going to be able to have, we may not be able to have fireworks for New Year's, because they're afraid of having people they're afraid of people hurting themselves, because there's always people who can't light a fireworks without blowing up their hand or something, and that the hospitals are already crowded. So they don't want to have other people, you know, a bunch of people going to the hospital for dumb reasons, like you don't know how to, I don't know how you can blow up your hand with fireworks.
It happens all the time. Not all the time, but every time there's a fireworks thing, somebody hurts themselves.
Yeah, but you know, fireworks, how they used to be, I mean, because I've loved fireworks my whole life, and fireworks, how they used to be, let's say 30 or 40 years ago, were like, just, they were dangerous. Okay, they were dangerous. Like, you could, if you weren't careful, you could easily blow yourself up. But how they are now, at least the ones in Germany, like, you can buy like a whole thing that'll go for like 10 or 15 minutes, like a big giant container of fireworks. It's just one little wick, and you just light the one little wick and step away. You don't have to stand there. Is it gonna blow up? You know, like, just light the wick and step away, and you won't hurt yourself. Like, I don't understand. I love fireworks, and this is going to ruin the New Year's for me if we don't have fireworks. I don't care about all the other stuff, drinking and singing and whatever. I just want to light things up and see fireworks in the sky.
Yeah. You know, I saw this article about that's not related to fireworks, but it is it's six Black women organizers talking about what happened in Georgia and what comes next. And like, the first one lesson is like, don't take the Black vote. Black vote for granted. Here's another time that Black women came through. We know we've got Stacey Abrams to thank with Fair Fight, but she worked with a lot of organizations and ignited a lot of excitement. And to see the three of us on the call, I want to make sure that we ignite the excitement for people to vote in Georgia from abroad. That's our constituency. That's how we can definitely help. You know, we want to, anyone who's not an abroad voter, find out who you may know who is abroad. It almost yes. seems like if you ask somebody who asked somebody, they know somebody who's got a cousin or a classmate or a former classmate or somebody got transferred overseas. But like we say, we're trying to reach a peach. We're trying to reach more than one peach. You know, if you're, I didn't know I knew as many Georgia voters abroad as I do until the spotlight came on Georgia for the runoffs. So Brittany, I'm going to ask Brittany Pruitt. I was going to call you Brittany. Brittany Pruitt, I'm going to ask you, I know you know Dana. Do you know any other Georgia voters overseas?
You know, funnily enough, I met someone through another Facebook group for North Americans in South Australia who is another Black woman from Georgia. So I literally just met her. We talked about a pecan pie recipe that she turned into pecan cheesecake. And I was like, what is that? I need to know what that is. And yeah, we just connected and she's from my same county in Georgia. Wow. But she lives like a few hours away. Anyway, long story short, I haven't reached out to her about this yet, but she's been living here for several years. So I hope she's in the know about how to do this, but I'm going to reach out to her and just double check. And I think, like you said, we are kind of in a place where voting is, it's more so active self-preservation than it is a exciting thing anymore. Or like, oh, I'm making a big difference with my vote. Sometimes it's just like, I need to do this so that I can get to where I want to be and that we can start to move forward and progress in the right direction. I know for myself and a lot of people, that's kind of how we are approaching it. And I think what gets me excited is seeing organizations like Fair Fight. Also I wanted to shout out the New Georgia Project. And also Black Voters Matter and All on the Line Georgia, who they're working on, you know, fighting gerrymandering and the upcoming redistricting. So I think there's, you know, a lot more community action and like community-led initiatives that energize me and make me more excited because I will eventually return to Georgia in the next few months. You know, I'll probably stay there for probably the most of 2021 and just figure out my next steps after grad school, which hopefully it'll be going back abroad. But, you know, I'll have that time to kind of be back in my home state and really get energized and get connected at a community level again. And so I just find that's, you know, what's keeping me energized. And I hope other people, you know, follow those organizations, follow those people who are on the ground, even though you're abroad, and stay connected to your home state and, you know, understand why you play a role in how things go in the U.S., no matter if you live there.
Absolutely. What? You know what? While we're shouting out, let me shout out Georgia Stand Up. Let me shout out Working Families Party, their progressive political party running candidates who support causes like fair wages and criminal justice reform. Let's shout out Georgia Coalition for the People's Agenda. As you said, Black Votes Matter. Shout her out again. She's awesome. Southwest Georgia Project for Community Education, Pro Georgia is another one. And these all were, have Black women taking the lead and doing grassroots work. That's a mouthful. But I appreciate what you said and appreciate your dedication to your state that you wanna go back and be part of the change. I admire that in this 28-year-old, very good. You could be living there, like kicking it in Australia, but you're like, okay, I'm going to go get my degree, my second degree or third. Is it your second or third?
Second. Yeah. I just did like a certificate program, but yeah, it's just my second.
Your second and go back. And shout out to HBCU. You mentioned Spelman. I can imagine their voter registration efforts this cycle were off the charts.
I hope yeah. so. I mean, being virtual, I think it does change things. I'm not as sure like what the sense is, but I think when I was there in, you know, 2010 through 2014, that was a huge thing. And just being in Georgia, even if you were from another state, like they got a bunch of us registered to vote in Georgia, and it was, you know, just a great experience. So I hope that's still happening, even though, you know, the majority of students are at home, but they should still be engaged.
Yeah, that's tough. Shout out to all the students, 2020, having to learn a new way to educate and be part of that campus experience. I know my school, Howard University, they did an online homecoming and I totally missed it. I was like, dang, that's one of the times I could have gone. Because yeah, I can't.
It was good.
Was it?
It was good. Yeah, they had Manny Fresh DJing and like all these people coming in. It was really good. They got all the sponsorship, so it was fancy.
Wow. Wow. That sounds very interesting. An online homecoming.
Well, yeah. You know, Angela is the queen of online for, she's the chair of the Democrats Abroad Global Black Caucus. And I should have written it down by now and have a tally. I would need my calculator to add up how many online events she hosted.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I hosted so many online events during the general election. I want to say it was at least 50.
At least that's doesn't even account for the Instagram lives or just your what are the other things, the things you came on with me, doesn't account include the podcast.
Yeah, we did a lot of live events, but I really wanted the Democrats Abroad to be able to expand our reach and find more people, and that's one way to do it. And since we're trapped at home, you know, not able to, we did in Germany in like September, we did do some, things were okay then, and we could go out and do some in-person events, but you know, outdoor things, but really for the most part of the year, everybody was inside. So yeah, we have to do more online things, and hopefully our podcast will reach people. And I'm so glad, Brittany, that you have a positive feeling about voting, and that, you know, voting is just one step in the process. A lot of people think that if you vote, then everything has to change, but it's just one step. Our next step is, getting the Congress out of the hands, the Senate out of the hands of Mitch McConnell, because we'll never have any progress if that man continues to be the leader of the Senate. Remember in Obama's term what he said about,
I'm gonna make him a one-term president.
Yeah, and that didn't work, but he still managed to keep progress from happening. So we need to bring this home so that the Biden administration, there's another word for what he is, but this is a non-swearing podcast, so we will not talk about that. I vote in Florida, but I grew up in Ohio, in Southern Ohio, which is at the border of Kentucky. So I'm very familiar with Mitch McConnell for like the majority of my life. This old, he was an old man when I was a child. So, yeah. And he was a racist and a sexist and a bigot all that time. Nothing's changed.
Back before it was cool. Trump made it cool again, but he's
you know, I'm not so
never gone
sure
away.
About that. I don't know if you guys know that there's a new documentary about the Reagans that's out. I think it's on HBO Max or something. I'm obviously not watching it on HBO Max, but I am watching it. And Ronald Reagan was the Donald Trump of the time. You watch that, you know, I don't remember it all so well. I mean, because I was a kid.
It was definitely, you know, the cult of personality. He was
but,
a weird.
No, it was the same thing. Like, if you listen to some of these, he had no idea about policy. He had just had some vague notions about what people fed him to say. I mean, he was an actor, just like
Trump.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I remember the latest, well, I guess pre-HBO Max, and when his daughter came out, when some conversation between him and Nixon was revealed, it showed he was a straight up racist. And she was like, my dad was a racist. And it's like, didn't you know? But I guess it's heartbreaking for any child to see the truth about a parent. But you know, before we go, I want to make sure that people know about our live voting help. When is it, Angela? I can never remember.
It is Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturday, and Sunday for people who need help with the Georgia vote. Please go there. There'll be a link in the podcast notes. definitely a link.
You can get one-on-one help too, right?
That's right. It's one-on-one help. So you just join this Zoom conference and then they assign you a person to help you. And then you go into a breakout room alone. So your problems aren't aired to the world. You don't have to worry about like sitting in a giant Zoom, like homecoming and like, I'm having issues with taxes. You know, you don't have to do that. You're alone.
I haven't voted in 10 years. You don't have to worry about getting vote shaming or anything like that.
No, absolutely. We will not. No one will ever vote shame you. If you didn't vote last election, if you didn't vote in the general election and you're from Georgia and you want to vote in this runout, you still can. So don't let anything deter you. And because we need every person to vote. Republicans may or may not show up, but we need to bring the Democrats to the polls and take control of the situation so that we can give President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris a fighting chance to get policies and regulations put in place that will protect our environment, that will manage COVID so we can get it down to a manageable level. I too would like to go home and see my family. I'm not, we know Adrian is going, Brittany's going back one day. But until COVID is under control, I'm not going there. Unless something really bad happens and I have to, I'm forced to go back there. We need to get our health insurance system under control. We need a public option or Medicare for all. I think a lot of people say that they don't like the idea of the public option, but I think if there was a public option that it would bankrupt all the medical insurance companies, and that it would be the equivalent of having Medicare for all. Because if you've had insurance in the United States, there's so many caveats and things you can't do and different things that keep you from actually getting help. I had a friend, this was a long time ago, this is when they had HMOs. I don't know if they still have those or not. And it's a colleague and she was having back pains and she'd been having back pains and she would go to her doctor and her doctor wouldn't get write her, whatever it is, this note that you get to go to another type of doctor to get some kind of x-rays or treatments or referral. He wouldn't do it because that takes away money from him. So one day she was about to go to work, getting ready to go to work. Her back was killing her and her husband, and I mean so much she was crying. And her husband was like, I don't care how much it costs. We're just going to go to the emergency room and see what's wrong with you because this has been going on for so long. So he took her to the hospital. They did a couple of x-rays, CAT scans, and determined that she had back cancer. That's why her back was hurting. And she actually died about a week after that.
Oh my God.
Because it had just gotten so far. And that's why she was in so much pain. And so this is not a system that we need.
That's tragic.
It still makes me sad. And it was a long time ago.
Malpractice. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's legal because, if you refer somebody, then you don't get as much money from that person's visit or whatever. And we have to stop this because our health is, if you don't have health, you don't have anything.
So this is why Georgia voters are so, the spotlight's on you. We want to shout out again, the poll workers and the people that counted all the ballots twice and the ones that are going to count all these ballots that are coming in by mail, whether domestically or overseas. Early voting starts when?
I think it's the 14th.
The 14th. If you're in Georgia, get to the polls safely, figure out a voting plan. And if you're a 17-year-old, I don't know what your generation is called, but the future is yours and you've got a voice. What are they called, Brittany?
The Z,
Generation Z. I'm excited for you if you're Generation Z Georgia voter. Because your first, and this is your first election, what a memorable first election. This isn't some run-of-the-mill, election, and this is a huge civics lesson. You know, I don't know what they're teaching you in high school, but this is a huge civic lesson for how our government works. And we know, as Angela said, it's not working when the Senate doesn't work with the Congress, and neither one of them are working with the president. So here's your chance to get a Senate that will work with the House, that will work with the president, that will work for the nation. If you already voted, you can maybe download your ballot, right? You can request it to come by email, and you need to print it, fill it out the minute you get it, and mail it back that same day or the next day, the latest.
There's still, I mean, you know, if honestly, if you don't get your ballot or don't get ready to mail it until, let's say, the middle of December, you need to send it back express. Like you need to send it back by a courier because it's not going to make it. You know, we have, even though, especially since we are in, like, a lot of places have quarantines, lockdowns, or people are just trying to stay at home in general, that online shopping is, it's booming. And you're definitely going to be competing. Christmas cards, packages, you know, fruit baskets. What's that company that makes those fruit things that you can
edible
send to people?
Edible bouquets or whatever.
Yeah, all this stuff, you know, like
wine,
really.
People are like,
yes,
yeah.
You're fighting all that, and your one little envelope, you know, is not the priority. So make it express and make it the priority so that we can win this election, and then we can get some progress. You know, it's not just millennials and Gen Z that want progress. It's, you know, Gen X wants some progress too. Like, woo! I know nobody thinks about us, but we've been suffering through all this stuff too. It's just no one cares. Like, well, everything that all the people. I think it's kind of funny. Like all the things that happened. That are happening to millennials and that are happening to younger people, they happen to us, but it's just no one actually cared. They're just like, suck it up. You'll make it. You'll make it. And it's not true.
Whatever generation you are, be part of the voting generation, right? Be part of the big voter historic turnout of 2020. You know, where we elected a president that had more votes than ever, where a loser president had more votes than ever.
You could have just stopped at loser.
Loser, but just vote. And I'm going to cue in the exit music because...
Well, let's...
It's getting late for Brittany.
That's true.
There.
So, Brittany, would you like to leave us with any final words, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I would just say, like you were saying actually about the multi-generational voting, you know, reach out to your families, reach out to everyone. I did work to get my entire family, my immediate family, registered for the general election a few months ago and getting their absentee ballots together. And then I noticed that my family weren't registered for absentee again, even though I was. So I didn't know what happened with that and why they changed their absentee status. But, you know, just make sure you're checking on those things and talking to your relatives, talking to your friends, like just getting in front of everyone and seeing what their voting plan is and just making sure that it's going to happen for Georgia.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brittany. Yes, good luck in your future endeavors. And, I hope that you get back to the EPA or wherever it is you'd like to go in the future, because we definitely need people that are concerned about the environment in whatever field that you work in. The environment is the only thing that's supporting us, our lives, keeping us alive, like, and we have to protect it, maybe finally, if, you know, we haven't been doing that for however many years. Since the start of the industrial age, but we can do it now. We can do it now for sure. Because, like I said at the beginning, it just doesn't snow here in Germany anymore. So, which is kind of weird. Climate change is happening now, and we have to protect the earth.
Yeah.
Adrian.
Got our music, girl. Yep. Bounce on out of here. So thankful for you all today.
Yes.
6 days to go, y'all. Get registered.
That's right. Get registered and don't delay. Ask for your ballot to come by email. So it don't be one of these people that's obsessed with getting stuff sent by the postal mail to you. It's not going to make it. So thank you everyone for listening today. And we'll be back tomorrow with Derek Bimbry. He is the GBC leader in Germany. And he is also a Georgia voter. Surprise. I can be talked. We will continue to talk to Georgia voters.
Georgia on our minds.
Georgia's on our mind, and we're not going to let it go until we win this election and we can take a hold of all three branches or two branches of our government and make things happen. So thank you. And everybody, stay safe. Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines.